Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Give a little bit. Give a little bit of your love to me. I'll give a little bit. I'll give a little
Super
bit
Tramp
of my love to you.
Is your artist of the day. Now, before we get any further in the show, Sam Stevie did a little bit of research during the news break. And I was telling everybody, when this show first started on January 30th of 2012, before that it was Shannon and Parks, and then it became Dana and Parks on January 30th, 2012. We did a little promo video for the internets, and I had totally forgotten about this.
I would like to add, I was innocently looking
it's
for a
so
Dana and
bad.
Parks radioactive t-shirt.
And that was one of the things we were talking about, was the show was originally called for about 30 days, Radioactive with Dana and Parks. And our theme song was Radioactive by The Firm.
Which is also just a horrible song.
No, it's a great song.
It's not good for that purpose, though. Yeah. Can we agree?
But it's a great song.
Yeah, agreed. It's just not a good piece of theme music.
So anyway, you know, you have to go in there if you want to see the video. Anyway, Sam Stevie came across our original promotional video. The show aired the first time on a Monday. This promotional video, I remember, was filmed on a Friday, right before the show debuted. Sam, will you play the clip?
Hey, Kansas City, coming up on Monday at 2 o'clock, she's got some shit to say.
That is so bad.
It's not over.
Go. Okay.
Oh, sorry.
Act natural.
Coming up on Monday, it's Radioactive with me, Dana Wright. Scott Parks.
This is so bad.
Terrible.
Whose idea was that? It wasn't mine.
I don't know.
Was it the idea of the guy who used to be in charge?
Maybe. I don't know. What,
maybe.
I don't know. We should have just done the show.
Yeah.
You sound a solid 25 years younger in that.
Isn't that funny? It's only been seven.
Yeah.
Scott had hair.
Hey, Kansas City, coming up on Monday at 2 o'clock. She's got
Scott
some
still has
so
hair.
Sad.
Scott still has hair.
He was younger, and that was 30 pounds ago for me. The wrong side of 30 pounds.
Well,
it's bad. I'm not going to lie. It's horrible.
It was the writer's side of 30 pounds for me.
That's true.
Hey.
I'm just saying, you were younger. You were a lot younger.
That's mean.
No, I'm just saying, you were a lot younger. It was not 30, maybe 10. Not 30.
That's still mean.
You know how I meant it.
Yeah, meanly.
No,
your hair was nice and full.
Oh, God, it's terrible.
He had hair.
And then I was going through the internet. Sam, I was inspired by you.
I'm so happy we also did not know. Their podcasts didn't exist back then. Even in our minds, they didn't exist anyway. So you can't, like, we don't have that first year, and I am so thankful for that.
And then I was going through the internet, and I found an interview that Dana and I did in 2013 or 14 when Michael Mackey was the host of Kansas City Live on Channel 41.
Yeah.
Probably about 6 months into the show.
Sure.
And that's not to discount the first 6 months of the show. They were fine. But about 6 months in, I started to realize this is working
you
and it's going to work.
Different. You sound completely different to me.
You sound more like current day Scott Parks on that than you did on that promo video.
I do want to say it's news talk. We both have very strong news backgrounds.
Very.
I was in news, 17 years.
We're sitting on a couch at 10 o'clock in the morning. Drinking alcohol.
Is that what's in that cup?
Yeah, because
that
the
is
next,
not normal.
Yeah, because the next segment was, you know, like Chiefs tailgating mocktails for your friends or something.
It's whatever's going on in the community. It's not a political show, it's a news show. And so whatever's happening, that's what we talk about.
How many times a day do you have to shut Dana up? How many times a day do you tell Dana to shut up?
Well, there's the possible and then there's the impossible.
Wow.
It's so bad. Let's not look back. Don't you feel like there are actors out there and they're looking at like their very first movie or their very first sitcom and it comes on and they are just screaming, turn it off? That's what I'm saying about this.
I was going to say, I think everybody on this show, with the possible exception of Sam, can listen back to some of their first audio.
Do you know my
and have
first,
that same experience.
Will Starrett, do you know what I would give to find this? My first stand-up as a summer intern at WIBW in Topeka, okay? Mm-hmm. It is so bad and so cringeworthy.
Do we have it?
I wore a hard hat. Now, just follow me here for a second.
We're already off to a bad start.
First of all, why would I wear a hard hat? And second of all, why didn't someone tell me, you look like an idiot, take the damn hard hat off? We weren't on a construction site. We were probably a mile from it. And I was talking about the fact that in 4 days they were going to implode a building.
Well, but okay, to be fair, television always does this. Ever since the invention of the live truck, we've found an excuse to use it.
There's nothing happening now.
Right.
But come Sunday.
Tom, I'm standing where 24 hours ago there was a vehicle wreck. And then all you can see is just like three blades of grass
blackness,
behind them. Yeah.
Total dark.
So, I mean, that's nothing new.
The other thing, the hard hat is bad enough. Number two, I'm wearing a suit, like a wool suit in the middle of a dusty downtown construction site, which is just stupid. And then number three, my voice is up here and it keeps getting higher and higher and higher. And it sounds like I'm going to explode by the time I
get.
You know how when you first start out,
It sounds like you humming then?
Yeah. You're trying so hard to hum. And by the end of it, I had no breath left.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to find the old clip of me when I was at KOFO in Ottawa.
Which you think is terrible. I don't think it's that bad.
Someone should have walked by me and said,
honey. Oh, I know where it is. I know. It's on my phone.
Rent, don't buy.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I've heard your KOFO work where you just think it's dreadful. I don't think it's that bad.
You're just young. Everyone sounds different when they're young.
It's pretty bad.
No, it's bad. I don't need to hear it again. I really don't.
I thought you were fine at that point. I mean, I'm not going to say that I would have put you on the air in New York City, but...
I found it. This is me putting it in the cassette
player. Milstead was appointed by the city of Lawrence.
What?
A Jefferson County woman was killed in a head-on collision yesterday afternoon in southwest Missouri.
Okay, that's not bad. It just doesn't sound like you.
Yeah, that's not bad at all.
It sounds like you trying to be a news person.
I was trying too hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was
but it sounds it sounds all right. I just know that it doesn't sound like you because I sit next to you every day.
A Jefferson County woman. Blah, 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 blah.
Trying to sound like Bill
Grady. I'm 22 years old, and I'm trying to sound like Bill Grady.
13, about...
Okay.
Oh my God, nerd.
I feel like every, at least male, young news person has done that, at least in radio.
Yeah,
I'm still doing it.
Yeah, you are. We'll fix that. Don't worry, man.
You need a hard hat? I can make that happen.
Yes, absolutely.
Just sit in there and wear a
Let
hard
me see
hat.
Will you look up and see if there's any Dana Wright?
It would be under implosion because it was an implosion.
Well, no. Career implosion.
It actually was literally and figuratively an implosion.
But look up and see if you can find Dana Wright WIBW in the system on like YouTube or something like that.
Oh, it's out there somewhere.
Oh.
But if you could see that hard hat, Scott, you would be mortified. It's so bad. It's so, I mean, it's.
Why were you wearing a hard hat?
I don't know, Scott. I don't know.
Don't because get mad at me that you wore a hard hat.
Because it was a story about a building demolition.
In 4 days.
Right. Was it wasn't building, taking...
No, I want to be sure that it's not coming down.
Was it being demolished?
Prematurely. No.
No, but it was to set the tone. It was for ambiance.
I set a tone.
To set the tone?
It was for the theme.
I see.
So I try to be nice now when I see the cringeworthy right out of school reporter because I remember how bad I was. There's a reporter this week making the rounds, Scott, who
locally?
Said, we reached out to the dead man for comment. He did not get back with us.
Oh, that's weird.
Mm-hmm.
She's in Los Angeles, Scott.
Wait, what? She was in Los Angeles?
She's working in the second market in the country, Will Starrett.
Oh.
And she said, we reached out to the victim for comment.
Oh, I've got it right in front of me here.
Oh, pull it up.
Oh, this is perfect.
Please
okay.
Please do.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, she's live in Anaheim. Here we go.
Make me feel better.
We tried to reach out to the man who died in this pursuit. They were unavailable for comment.
Twitter exploded.
We tried to reach out to the man who died in this pursuit. They were unavailable for comment.
What?
If she'd been successful, though, that would have been the get of the millennium.
We tried to reach out to the man who died in this pursuit. They were unavailable for comment.
Hey, but she tried. We're digging deeper.
Oh, if broadcasting...
we're working for you and digging deeper.
So's the grave digger.
If broadcasting had relegation like they use in you know the European soccer leagues,
she would be relegated.
She would be...
She'd be second tier.
Yeah, she'd be getting a demotion right about now.
We tried to reach out to the man who died in this pursuit. They were unavailable for comment. Whoa, I'm waking up. I feel it in my
bones. Don't make my Imagine Dragons on Dana and Park. Story here out of North Bloomfield, Ohio. Police officers often say that no traffic stop is routine, and there was nothing routine when a deputy pulled over and Amish buggy early Sunday morning in North Bloomfield, Ohio. The deputy was on patrol in the heart of Trumbull County's Amish community when he spotted a buggy outfitted with a large stereo system on Donley Road. According to his report, he saw two Amish men drinking inside the buggy. They had a 12-pack of beer on top of the vehicle.
And a stereo system on the buggy?
It's the stereo system that raises the eyebrow. But
Pimp
keep
my
going.
Ride. Right?
Carry on.
When the deputy attempted to stop and question the two men about their drinking and driving, they jumped out of the buggy and ran, disappearing into the wooded area on the side of the road. According to the report, the horse pulled the buggy... pulling the buggy, took off running, and the deputy gave chase, and eventually catching up with the horse. Quoting here from Chief Deputy Joe Dragovich, I've never operated an Amish buggy with a horse, but I'm told that the horse will know the way home, regardless of whether the operator is awake or even in the buggy. And that horse went a little further down the road and into a gas well road and stopped.
Well, then wait. If the horses drive themselves home... It's not a DUI, correct?
Who's in technically control of the buggy?
I would argue the horse.
I would argue the horse,
maybe
too.
So. But you got to think about it. I mean, doing a police pursuit with a horse and buggy is probably more challenging than a regular one because the guys can bail out and the vehicle keeps going.
Right.
At least when it's a car chase...
Generally,
the car comes to a stop at or about the same time the guy bails out.
Mm-hmm.
Not in this case.
Mm-mm. Maybe I will. Maybe I won't.
Guys
maybe
bail
I
out.
Will, maybe I won't.
Guys bail out. Vehicle keeps going.
Can Wait. I just say, we don't have time to play it right now, but it's one of the funniest clips
By
in the
way,
history.
It has been proven to be a hoax.
Oh, yeah. I think it was like Reno 911.
Mm-hmm.
We have one of those machines right now parked in the very, very back of our lot. I don't know what you call that thing. It's a scissor
lift or something.
Like a scissor lift or something. If you have not seen the DUI scissor lift stop, it is one of the funniest things I have ever heard. And we've played it before on the show.
Maybe I will. Maybe I won't.
You need to get down from there.
Maybe I will. Maybe I won't.
She says we gotta hold on to what we've got. It doesn't make a difference if we make it or not. We got each other, and that's a lot more love. We'll give it a shot. Oh, we're halfway there.
Man, I gotta look this up. By the way, scissor left is correct now. Because this story from that I printed from Channel 9 didn't print properly. But the
It's the Navy.
The basics, the Navy has confirmed a UFO sighting. Let me see if I can find the story here. Okay, here we go. This is from CNN, so you know it's true.
Bingo!
There you go. Just waiting.
That was the one I was missing.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Now, real quick, you've seen these videos before. These videos have been circulating on the internet for a while. Mm-hmm. The news today is that the United States Navy has come out because I think they were accidentally released. And the Navy has come out and said, while they weren't supposed to be released, now that they have been released, we can confirm that these are unidentified flying objects.
The U.S. Navy is finally acknowledging that footage purported to show UFOs hurtling through the air. And while officials say they don't know what the objects are, they're not indulging any hints either. The objects, seen in three clips of declassified military footage, are, quote, unidentified aerial phenomena, according to Navy spokesman Joe Gradisher.
UAFs?
That would be UAPs.
Oh.
What did I miss? Sorry.
I said the objects seen in the three clips of... Here, Sam, just rewind the tape and play it back for him while I read on.
It's a...
Just stop. Stop. Okay. The clips released between December 2017 and March 2018 by To the Stars Academy and Arts appear to show fast-moving oblong objects captured by advanced infrared sensors. In footage from 2004, sensors locked onto a target as it flies before it accelerates out of the left side of the frame too quickly for the sensors to relocate it. Two of the videos, both from 2015, contain audio from U.S. fighter pilots attempting to make sense of what they're seeing. Says one fighter pilot to a colleague, "It's a effing drone, bro." "My gosh, they're all going against the wind. Look at that thing, dude." Gradisher, the Navy spokesman, said the Navy's transparency about unidentified aerial phenomena, or UAP, is largely done to encourage trainees to report incursions that they spot in the airfield, which would threaten a pilot's safety.
I found the clip.
Go ahead, play it, please. The objects, seen in three clips of declassified military footage, are, quote, unidentified aerial phenomena, according to Navy spokesman Joe Gradisher.
UAFs?
Oh, geez.
It's supposed to be UFO. UAFs? That was my point. It's supposed to be UFO.
How do you spell the word phenomenon?
Let's not create new letters to represent something that generally is understood to be UFO.
Nobody's creating a letter to spell phenomena.
UAFs?
Someone's creating an alternative spelling of that word, though. I mean, it's...
Call it a UFO. Why does it have to be a UAF or a UAP or whatever it is?
It's UAFs. Clearly F-E-N-O-M-E-N-O-N, right? Of course.
I know how to spell phenomenon.
Really?
Yes,
do
I do.
You?
Well, when you said unidentified whatever, I thought it's supposed to be UFO. So I was thinking UFO and I said UAF.
Mm-hmm. Phenomenon.
Flying.
Somebody wrote, "Wow, Washburn's finest." Finest is spelled P-H-I-N-E-S-T.
That's a text of the week so far.
Focus.
Spelled P-H-O-C-U-S?
Maybe. It's an unidentified phenomenon air flying. Huh? It's a UFO! Call it a UFO!
Unidentified aerial phenomena.
Dumbest thing I ever heard in my life.
Okay. UAF.
UAF? Yes, Dana.
Mm-hmm.
What we got there is a UAF.
So good. So funny. Anyway, so...
The Navy says the video is authentic. They're not saying these are aliens. They're saying the video that's been widely circulated after it was leaked is, in fact, an authentic video of the Navy pilots seeing whatever it was that they saw. Correct?
correct. That is a fact.
P-H-A-C-T.
Well, why don't you?
Off.
P-H.
No, no.
I'm not going to spell it all the way.
Navy and UFO is what I'm looking up.
Is that UPO?
No, it is UFO.
But I mean, really, this doesn't tell us anything.
No, they're just acknowledging, because the naysayers will say, that's doctored video, that's not right,
well, I don't believe it.
Yeah.
This is the Navy saying, okay, the videos that have been widely circulated, that have everybody up in a tizzy, those are actually videos belonging to the Navy.
Well, a lot of people just hear the phrase UFO and automatically think aliens, when UFO does stand for unidentified. So anything that you don't know what it is, if it's in the sky, it is a UFO.
Here's the problem with that, Will Starrett. If you are a Navy pilot and you're up there nosing around at however many thousand feet, if it was something that was a government-controlled thing,
you would know about it.
You would know about it.
Presumably.
That's why this is so believable. So if it's a commercial airline pilot, which we've had happened as well recently, you can say, well, it's probably a government thing and the commercial pilot's not going to know about it. This raises the bar because it's naval pilots. And one would expect that if it was a government thing flying around out there, someone at the highest level would tell them, calm down, bro. That's a...
Bruh.
You know, Air Force drone or something.
Side note, what's with fighter pilots being frat bros all of
know,
a sudden?
Right?
Have you ever seen a UFO or a UPO?
No, I don't think so.
Have you?
No.
Oh, we had a caller, I don't know, 6 months ago when we were talking about these idiots storming Area 51.
I'm telling you right now.
She swore, and she was like 12 years old. They still talk about it. It hovered, it moved, it left. She said, my parents were there, I was there. We are not all collectively making this up.
That we saw something, I think it was Sarah and me. Might have been Maya, but I think it was Sarah. Over Shawnee Mission Parkway and Flum one night when we were driving home. I never see anything like it. I am not here to tell you I think it was a UFO or an alien or whatever. But the way that it moved... It was not a plane. It was clearly not a plane. And it was way high up.
Because it was zipping sideways? Like
yes.
Zoom, zoom.
And so I thought, the first thing I thought was, this is some jerk's drone
right.
flying over the city. And then it dawned on me, this is way too big to be a drone. I mean, it was the size of a plane,
yeah.
but it wasn't a plane. And it was, what's the word I want to use here? It was like a cylinder, and it just like and darted all over the place. But it had lights all the way across it. And I thought, nah, that's a drone. That's got to be a drone. We opened up the sunroof to watch it because we were at a stoplight at Shawnee Mission Parkway in Flum. And it dawns on me, this is not a drone. This is way too big to be a drone.
Okay, so listen to this if you go on to the Popular Mechanics story, okay? In each case, the objects in these videos, and one is on the East Coast, one is on the West Coast, okay? In each case, the objects in the videos undertook aerial maneuvers that are not possible with current aviation technology.
That we've been told about.
In 2004, the objects appeared suddenly at 80,000 feet and then hurled toward the sea, eventually stopping at 20,000 feet and hovering. Then they either dropped out of radar range or shot straight back up. And what Popular Mechanics is saying, there is no known aviation technology that can do that.
That we know about.
Right, that we've been told about.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody wants to know, Dana, who saw the UFO? Fighter pilots? Fighter spelled P-H-I-G-H-T-E-R.
Oh,
okay, all right. I'm sorry. Scott, did your butt hurt after you saw this UFO? No.
So there was not a satellite dish installed up there?
No.
Okay.
But thank you for asking.
I'm telling you, read that Popular Mechanics article. I believe it when they say there ain't nothing out there that knows how to do what these things were doing right in front of trained pilots who would know, okay, well, you know what that is. That's that, you know, whatever. They don't say that. They spend 30 minutes going, what the heck is that? Look, it's zooming that way. Now it's going up. Now it's going down.
576-7798, 576-7798. Sticks. When they were good. Nick.
Okay.
Nick in KCK. Hello, Nick.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
It's going well. Thank you.
Hey, I just wanted to point out, and Dana kind of pointed out the same thing, but a lot of people, the one thing to really look at with like a lot of these clips when you're comparing them, looking at fake and real and kind of deciphering these things, is really looking at the movement, like Dana said, that just looks like nothing we have here on Earth. And there's a name that's kind of become synonymous with Area 51, Bob Lazar. You might have heard of him. But I recommend watching the documentary about him and some of his talks. And he talks about the engine that would be used in these crafts that he actually worked on at Area 51 and talks about how it's nothing that we have here on Earth, and it's definitely some type of foreign technology.
Is that the thing on Netflix, Nick?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely watch it.
Some listeners told me to watch it, and I'm going to be honest because I'm not a sciencey kind of person. And I started it, and within like 5 minutes, I'm like, I can't stick with this. But maybe I needed to just stick with it. I thought it was incredibly boring.
It can be really cheesy and, boring at certain points, but then there's times where they interview Bob himself, and it just gets super fascinating. If you can't sit through that, Bob also was interviewed by Joe Rogan on a podcast. And that goes into way more detail also. So there's different forms of way to check him out. But
Been verified that he actually worked there? I don't know who would verify it or how you would verify it.
So he himself verifies it, and his family and people that have worked with him that are able to come out. But he was actually written off by Area 51. And they even discredited his degrees for universities and all this kind of thing. And he obviously went to school. He's a rocket scientist. But they completely discredit him. His entire life was ruined by coming out, but that's a whole other side to the story.
Why don't people come out when they die?
That's the thing I've never understood, Nick. You know, not a president on his deathbed necessarily, but someone who really knows on their deathbed, why wouldn't you just say, all right, here's what's going on there?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. I personally have no idea, but yeah, no, that's a good thing to think about. I mean, Bob came out when he was in his 20s or 30s, I want to say. I think it was late 20s. So he came out pretty early, and his entire life has pretty much been dedicated to that solely because, well, his life was ruined by Area 51. So, I mean, that's kind of his whole talking point. So.
Cool. Hey, thank you for the call, Nick. Did you hear, by the way, two dum-dums did get arrested when they tried getting near Area 51 overnight?
Have they already done that thing?
No. These are just two dum-dums that are YouTubers, and they... These idiots, they just look so stupid in their mugshots, which not that anyone looks good in a mugshot, but they actually look like, I can't believe we got arrested. They said they wanted to get a good look at the Area 51 before they left the U.S. because they're Dutch. And they ended up in a Nevada jail instead.
Wait, why did you just look at me like that?
Well, it says two Dutch friends said they wanted to get a good look at the mysterious Area 51.
Do you not know where people who are Dutch are from? Where are they from?
They're from, you know.
Dutchland.
No, the Dutch live in Scandinavia?
Oh, God.
Switzerland? No, still incorrect.
Finland?
Oh,
also incorrect.
That's in Scandinavia.
Netherlands.
Yes.
There you go.
Woo!
Fourth time's the charm.
Will, you had to see her face. She goes... She's reading from the story. She goes, the two men who are Dutch. And then she looks at me like this. She goes,
They're from Dutchland. Hello.
Everybody knows that. Where are the Danish from?
They Denmark?
Danaland.
The two men say they never planned to participate. Shut up.
Where are the Spanish from?
Spain.
Okay. Italians?
Italy.
Okay. Germans?
Germany.
Okay.
Side note, doesn't it seem like 70% of instances of people being a jackass now center on someone being a YouTuber?
Yes.
Like a solid 70%.
Deputies found cameras, a phone, a laptop, and a drone in the men's vehicle. And when they were arrested, both men told deputies they could read, write, and speak English. And yes, they had seen the no trespassing signs at the entrance.
But do they speak Netherlander?
They wanted to take a look.
Mm-hmm. Netherlandese.
Sorry, Netherlandese. That's what I meant to say.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.